Good evening, everyone. As I was opening the Bible class this morning, I made mention that today was Super Sunday. And I always look at every Sunday as that, but today really is Super Sunday. We have a new sister in Christ. We have those who've identified themselves with us as being part of our number, and who needs a football game when you get that kind of news? So I'm grateful that you all are here tonight. I'm grateful for those who have joined us in fellowship. I'm grateful for Kayla's commitment to the Lord today in putting on Christ. And it makes today just that much better. We always have the time and the opportunity to come and worship our God on the Lord's Day. And that's what we're here for. But we're uplifted, we're encouraged on days like today. The text that was just read was given to Solomon just before he became king. And it was the encouragement to Solomon to keep his heart right with God. And the song that we are about to sing for our invitation song in just a few minutes is titled that very thing. And it is the title of our lesson tonight. I really can't think, based on the news today, of a better lesson to follow up a baptism and the time that we have together today and asking the same thing of ourselves. And we're going to look at that song here in just a little bit and the four verses that are there and use it to help us make the points of this particular lesson. But I want you to reflect for just a moment again on what was stated to Solomon in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. I have underlined, at least highlighted here, what I want us to consider, because in that, when we're talking about is our heart right with God, it is that understanding that we are serving Him, serving God. We're serving Him, as Solomon is being told to do, with a loyal heart, a whole heart, with a willing mind. He's not having his arm twisted to do this. He's not being forced to do this. He's doing this voluntarily because it is God. For the Lord searches all hearts. And believe me, God knows the heart of every individual in here this evening. But He searches the hearts and He understands all the intents of the thoughts. And you look at Solomon, and I know that this particular verse, I believe, is also, if you open the songbook to number 263 real fast, and you look right underneath the title of the song, it quotes part of 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. It really sets up the talking about the song and everything that goes along with it. But I do believe that there are times that we benefit by looking at the words of the songs, because we are supposed to, when we come together at least and sing, we're to teach and admonish one another in the songs, hymns, and the spiritual songs that we sing. And I believe this song does just that. It talks about the heart of man. What kind of heart do each and every one of us have? And so as you look at the song, and you look, the first thing you might notice is, you actually have not, won't be the first thing that you notice, is you'll have to drop down to the bottom of the page, and you're going to find out who the author is. But this song asks us to think about the condition of our heart. You know, you think about it, faith is related to our heart. Repentance is related to our heart. Confession is related to our heart. Everything that we do to be pleasing to God comes from our heart. And I'm not talking about the blood pump when I'm talking about that heart. Because that heart doesn't think. Yes, it can feel pain and it can ache, but this is the heart that we're talking about. Because out of the hearts of men, we reveal ourselves. And the Bible, when it talks about the heart, most often is talking about what we think with. Do we have that type of heart that God looks at? I know He looks at it and He searches it and He knows the intents of our heart. But this song asks that very question of us. It's written and composed by Elisha Albright Hoffman, is who it was composed by, in 1899. About 30 years before she died. Elisha, he died. I'll get it right here in a minute, before he died. But it's one of many songs that this songwriter put together. Our songbook is filled with some of the songs, and some of the most popular songs that he wrote are songs like I Must Tell Jesus, Are You Washed in the Blood, What a Wonderful Savior, Glory to His Name, Where Will You Spend Eternity, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, To Christ Be True. We sing many of those songs, and some of those songs are just like this one. They're oldies but goodies. But the song begins by asking, have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? It begins by asking about our affections. And when we talk about our affections, what we're dealing with is that part of our mind which involves our moral interests. We're talking about the things, how we view morality even, when we're talking about that. Morality. It's a reflection of our thinking. And where our thoughts should be. Look in your Bibles for just a moment at Colossians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul, on several occasions, talks about looking upward. You know, he talks about in Philippians chapter 2, or Philippians chapter 3, not having laid hold of salvation. But he's always pressing on toward the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, you look at what takes place here. He says, if then you were raised with Christ, and he's talking about baptism, being raised in baptism with Christ, seeking those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. When you think about your affections, and before we became a child of God, where they dwelt, they were here on earth mostly, weren't they? We weren't always thinking about God, and our thoughts were not always directed upward to Him. We were thinking about the here and now. We were thinking about what's in it for me. And this song is asking us, have those affections been nailed to the cross? Have those desires that I might have that are worldly, those desires that might cause me to sin, those desires that might bring up the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life in my life, have I nailed those to the cross with Jesus Christ? Why? Because those things should not be in the forefront of our minds anymore. When I look at Colossians chapter 3, and it says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, it tells me that when I become a child of God, my thinking changes. My entire life changes to something better. Having those affections nailed to the cross simply means being spiritually crucified with Christ so that we become dead to the world. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2. Listening to the Apostle Paul again, and especially in verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but what? But Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's how things change. You look over at Galatians chapter 6, and you look at verse 14 in that same epistle, and you listen to what Paul says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the whole world has been crucified to me and I to the world. You think about the Apostle Paul and where his affections were before they were nailed to the cross. He's an example to us of just what this song is talking about. He nailed his affections to the cross. He nailed his Judaism to the cross. He nailed his desire to be a Pharisee to the cross. He nailed his desire to be one of the most prominent men in Israel or in Jerusalem as a Pharisee of Pharisees. He nailed that to the cross, all for the sake of Christ. When we do this, we become a lot like the Apostle Paul in our own lives. We may not be giving up the things that he gave up, but we do give up similar things. Look in your Bibles at Philippians chapter 3. And you begin there in Philippians chapter 3, and you look at verses 4 through 8, and you see what Paul gave up. You see that, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." Is thy heart right with God? Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Do you see the scriptural nature just of the first verse alone, that it's pointing us in this direction? It's pointing us in a direction of transformation of the heart. True spiritual change. In verse 2 of the song, it again asks the question, "Hast thou dominion or self and or sin? Is thy heart right with God? Over all evil, without and within, is thy heart right with God?" And here's the thing. Self-control is something that is spoken of within the Scriptures quite often. It is something that needs to be practiced in our daily living. But it's something that's not always easy. Why is that? Because we're not always willing to give up those things that are necessary. Paul said he counted those things but loss. How did he do that? How was he able to do that very thing? Well, look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. In order for us to be able to establish that dominion over ourselves, to develop that same type of self-control, it means what we have to do is what Jesus says right here. If anyone desires to come after me, this is what Jesus is saying. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's exactly what Paul did when he turned away from being a Pharisee. That's exactly what Paul gave up being of the tribe of Benjamin. That's what he gave up when he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He counted all those for loss for the sake of Christ. He wanted his heart to be right with God. He wanted to serve God with a whole heart. He wanted to devote every ounce of his being to him. When we think of that first and that great commandment that Jesus was asked about, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your might, we can know whether or not our heart is right with God. We establish that by the self-control, the buffeting of our bodies at times. In doing this, we begin to have dominion over sin in our lives. Yes, we are all sinners and we've all fallen short of the glory of God, but we do not have to remain enslaved to sin. When we can develop that dominion over self and or sin, it is there that we have realized that we have broken free. That those things which have enslaved us no longer need to enslave us. If you look at Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14, the Apostle Paul says, "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." When a person can reach that point, in their lives. After having been baptized for the forgiveness of their sins, being raised to walk in newness of life that's mentioned back up in verse 4, you're alive to God. You're useful to Him in His kingdom. And likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And then he asked in that very next verse, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he emphatically says, certainly not. That individual is the individual that has developed that dominion over themselves, that they've conquered evil in their lives without and within so that their heart can be right with God. And by this, then we can have victory. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to have you turn to all these passages tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want you to look beginning at verse 21. We can have victory over evil without and within. And when you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Stay as far away from it. And that's the thing. If we are going to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow after Jesus, that's what we're going to be trying to do. We're going to try to stay as far away from it as we possibly can. There was Flip Wilson. I remember him and when he did his little old Geraldine, "The Devil Made Me Do It." I remember a saying that came up. I don't know if he was the one that originated or where it came from. It says, "Get behind me, Satan, and don't push." We're trying to stay as far away from him so he can't reach us to push us. When you think about these things, we can have dominion over self and our sin from without and within. The third stanza, is there no more condemnation for sin? Is thy heart right with God? Does Jesus rule the temple within? Is thy heart right with God? The Apostle Paul obviously allowed Jesus to rule in his life. He had the preeminence. When we talk about that in the book of Colossians, Jesus Christ is to have the preeminence in our life. Therefore, He has the rule. When we think about going back to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, we are looking to Jesus where He is sitting at the right hand of God, knowing that He is our authority. To those who are in Christ, there is no more condemnation for sin because all past sin has been washed away. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. Now you see, there is a condition to that. In order for that condemnation to no longer be there, we have to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And for such people, Jesus Christ truly rules. Go back to Colossians chapter 3. He rules as the King in their lives. And you look at Colossians chapter 3 and you look at verse 15 now, where we let, and it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Paul talks about the peace of God in Philippians chapter 4. It can guard your hearts, guard your souls. It will protect it. And we can have access to that when we pray to God over there when you look at Philippians chapter 4. But that temple within, it refers to us. The statement that the Apostle Paul made to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, about being the temple of God, letting the individual know that your body is the temple of the Lord. We need to understand that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" And you have to remember now what's taking place with the church at Corinth, the difficulties that are there, the sin that is within that church. They may have at one time started out with their heart right with God, but right now, currently, as Paul is writing this to them, there are many things that needed to be fixed, needed to be corrected. Their heart was not right with God. And he's telling them, you have not let God rule properly in your lives because you have forgotten that you are His temple. And we need not to forget that. That we need to remember how important we are to God, that this body that we have, even though it is flesh and blood and bone, the inner man is what's precious to God. You become, when you become His child, that temple, and it needs to remain pure and holy. And so we must allow the authority of Christ to be in our lives. We must allow God to have reign and control in our lives. And we can access and examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. We can examine our lives to see whether or not we are in the faith, whether we are in Christ Jesus. We know whether the temple has been defiled or whether it is pure in the sight of God. We know whether we are in fellowship with Him or if we've broken fellowship with Him. It is important for us to let Him abide in thy soul, as the song will tell us. And when we do this, the inner man becomes whole again. Are all thy powers under Jesus' control? Is thy heart right with God? Does He each moment abide in thy soul? Is thy heart right with God? The idea of powers might sometimes refer to the physical strength by which we carry out the affections of our minds. But we need to understand that we should love the Lord with all our strength. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. You think about I've mentioned this already, the fact that we love Him with every fiber of our being. And I like the way the Mark words it better than Matthew, because he adds that fourth part to it. "Then you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment." When we have developed that kind of love for our God, when we've developed that kind of love for the one who died for us on the cross, Jesus Christ, then we understand who truly is in control. Here's the thing. It doesn't really matter if we understand who's in control. God is always in control. But when we start living our lives like we truly believe it, it becomes evident to everyone around us. It becomes evident to our brothers and sisters in Christ. It becomes evident to family, to friends, to classmates, to those we work with. They can see a change in your life. And sometimes just by the example that you lead, the life that you live, you can reach out and touch someone else and possibly bring them to Christ. Thus, all our powers should be under Jesus' control as we submit to God. And as James tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 8, you don't have to turn there, he says, resist the devil. And when we do this, Christ will abide with us. You know, it's wonderful when you think about that fourth verse of that song, how if Christ is abiding with us, it means we're in Him. If Christ is abiding with us, it means we're in the Father as well. We are walking in the light as He is in the light. we're dwelling where they dwell. But I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 17 as Paul talks about Christ dwelling in your heart. How does he do that? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It begins with our faith. We sing these songs, we should be singing them in the spirit and in the understanding. This is a powerful song when we sing it. And it should affect us and it should cause us to reflect upon our own lives. And you look at that last verse. Art thou now walking in heaven's pure light? That's 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Is thy heart right with God? Is thy soul wearing the garment of white? Is thy heart right with God? Those garments of white represent to us a life that is pure, a life that has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But look at how it's described in Revelation chapter 7, beginning at verse 13. Keeping in mind that what we're looking at is a vision of John's, the figurative language here is still beautiful. It paints a picture for us. When it says, "Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." That's part of that victory that we read about in the book of Revelation. That's part of an identifying marker of who we are, realizing whose we are and who we are, all at the same time. And I know I got those backwards in the way I normally say it. But your garments, I'm going to talk to Kayla for just a second. You put on brand new garments today. Everything has been washed and made white as snow. Keep them that way. All of us, keep them that way so that we can stand before God and enter into that eternal joy that only He can provide for those who are faithful. And as that Revelation statement indicates, being white suggests being washed. And we are washed in the blood of the Lamb when we obey His Word. And we are baptized for the remission of our sins. Our God is a gracious God. Our God is one who wants us to be saved. Our God wants our hearts to be right with Him. And so when you look at the chorus of the song, "Is thy heart right with God, washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God." If our heart is right with God, we are right in His sight. We stand in His favor. We gain His favor in all things. And so as we ask and answer that question this evening, is thy heart right with God? And as we are about to sing it together as an invitation song, you ask yourself that very same question. Because whenever sin is in our lives, our hearts are not right with God. Whenever sin reigns in our lives, we need to change. Therefore, we strive to prepare our lives to walk in the light as He is in the light. We need to be examining ourselves and answering that all-important question, is thy heart right with God? Now, only you can answer that question tonight. And only you can respond to that question, and because you have to determine whether fellowship with God is important to you or not. If it is, and your heart is not right with God, then make it right with Him this evening. You can follow the example of those in the auditorium that have put on Christ in baptism, those who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. We stand ready to assist you. If you need to reconcile a life that's strayed from God, we stand ready to assist you with prayers as well. Encouragement to live your life for Him. Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing?